Hey friends, my name is Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here at Boone United Methodist Church, and it is good to be gathered together in God's house. There is an excitement, there is an energy, there is a spirit alive in this place, is there not? Amen? Amen. And friends, as we continue in worship now, I just want to invite you to consider what we've been talking about these last several weeks, giving our hearts to God with generosity in the way that God gives all of God's self to us. And so as we continue now, I want to just mention an opportunity to give. You can bring forward your offering at any point throughout the service. You can leave it at the door on your way out. You can give online. You can give ahead of time. We've set it up in our family to just do it automatically, so it happens. It's really easy to do that, really simple. So, but we do that out of a place of what we just sang about, that God would use all of us and all of who God has made us to be vessels for God's healing and God's amazing grace and God's love in this world. And that's why we give. We give out of hearts that are molded after God's own heart and give in the way that God has given to us. And so I just encourage you now, online or wherever, and throughout the rest of the service, to give generously. And let me pray over that offering before we go to God's word together. Let us pray. Loving God, I give you thanks for this day, for everything that Ben mentioned, for everything that the worship team and all of us have sung about today, God, for every sign of your life in our midst. For every sign of your activity in our midst, for every tree that just shouts and proclaims your glory, Lord, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks for this space and for the people that you have gathered here to be your church. Not only here this morning on Sunday, but those who are watching, those who are a part of this community, those who come to this place to remind ourselves who you are, God, and of your goodness and of your graciousness and of your life that you offer us. We gather as your people this morning to proclaim that goodness, Lord. And so we ask that your spirit would be with us as we worship you. We ask that you would speak a word to us, Lord, from your word now, from Jesus Christ, in order that as we open the scriptures, Lord, that we might hear the word that you have for us this morning. And so, God, we offer ourselves, we offer our gifts of our time, our talents, our treasure. We offer our ears and our eyes and our hearts even right now, as we have been doing so already this morning. Take all of it, Lord, break it, bless it, and pour it out for your kingdom so that the whole world might know your great love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, today in the life of the church, you may not know, today is Halloween, which is not a church holiday. I don't know if you knew that. My daughter said to me before I got up, she goes, I should have given you my cat ears to wear when you went up because it's Halloween. It would have been awesome. today is in the life of the church. Every year on October 31st, that is Reformation Day. Reformation Day is the day in which the church, well, some of the church, commemorates and remembers the Reformation that happened about 500 years ago. Martin Luther was a priest, and he is the person for whom the Lutheran Church is named after. He began a movement in 1517. By approaching church that day, he had kind of been noticing some things about the way that we did life, the way that the church did life together, that he was thinking maybe ought to be considered again and reconsidered and perhaps changed. And so Luther came up with a list of 95 things that he thought needed to change in the church, and he went up to the most prominent church in Wittenberg, and he tacked them on the door on October 31st. Those were the 95 theses, and that was kind of the beginning of the Reformation movement. Now, some of the things, 95, that's a lot of things, right? I'm not even going to ask, because we might be here all day if I ask you guys, like, so what should we change about the church? or you might say nothing, we're good. Either way, I think those answers are wrong. There's always something to do to change and to be more like Jesus. But Luther, one of the biggest things that he was complaining about, back in that day, the church, the Roman church, for the most part, there was a big church between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox. There was a split that happened around 1,000 or so, but 500 years later, around 1500, the church was trying to raise money to rebuild St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And so one of the ideas that they had for raising money was that they could sell these things called indulgences. And some of you know this story, what this is about. Some of you, maybe this is new to you. But this was one of the things that Luther didn't think was such a great idea. What they would do is they would say, hey, come to church and confess your sins and pay some money for a piece of paper that says that you are forgiven. and we'll take that money and we'll fix up the church. So how do you think that would fly today? Like, hey, we need a new HVAC system. So what we're going to do is y'all come on out Saturday, Sunday afternoon. We're going to just line up. You're going to confess your sins. You're going to pay your money and we'll get that HVAC. Like, do you think that would work? I'm not sure that would be a great idea. Well, Luther didn't think so either. And so that was one of the things on his list of things that needed to be changed about the church. God's forgiveness is just like God's grace. It's free for all. So anyway, that was one of the main things that began that this movement of examining how are we doing life together? How are we the church together? And what might we change in order to be more in line with God's heart for us? And so happy Reformation Day to all of you, and happy Halloween too. We're in the midst of a series on our hearts and how we are experiencing transformation in our hearts. As Vern mentioned, as Johnny was praying earlier, we believe that God is still speaking to us in revival terms. God is still moving and active among us and wanting and desiring things for us as God's people of Boone United Methodist Church. Amen? Amen. And so we continue to live out into that, and we continue to seek God's heart and God's mission for us and for our church together. And so we're in the midst of this series on our heart. And today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the vision that Vern mentioned earlier. Our vision for our church is that we would be becoming transformed disciples who live for the transformation of hearts and the church and the community and the world. And so our focus this morning is on transformed hearts. And we're going to start out by talking about kind of where do our hearts exist now? What's in our hearts today? And how do we get our hearts to be transformed and to look more like the heart of God, to be more in line with God's heart, to be more fruitful for God's kingdom? That's where we're headed this morning. And so we'll look at two different passages in Scripture, the first of which is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. And so in honor of God's word, if you would stand, please, as we read from God's word together. Hear this word from Luke, chapter 6. Starting at verse 43, Jesus is speaking here, and it's kind of this is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And so he's speaking to a crowd of people, and he says this, Luke chapter 6, verse 43, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs or thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This is God's word for us, God's people. Thanks be to God. Friends, you may be seated. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I wonder, what is your heart full of this morning? What is your heart full of? Well, I want to go back to answer that question. Let's go back to the very beginning and read what God says and hear what God says about our hearts and how we were made. Remember in Genesis, in the creation story, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that has life and breath God made, including us. And do you remember the refrain that we keep getting as we read through the creation poem? And again, God made the sea and separated the sea from the dry land, and it was good. It was good. And everything that God created, the animals of the sea, the birds of the air, and those were good, right? And then we get to human beings, and God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. And he looked and he said, Adam, human beings in God's image were made very good. So I think it's important that we start there. When asking the question, what is in our hearts, I think it's important to start in the very beginning and remember that we were created to be very good, and we were very good, and then something happened, right? Sin came into the world, and our hearts were broken, and ever since that time, God has been working tirelessly and endlessly to restore and to repair that broken heart that we all carry. Remember, we were made very good. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is your heart full of. So we know there's some goodness in there. And then there's some other things too. But the goodness, I want to talk about that for just a second. Have you ever, this phrase, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It's also translated in other versions, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a sense of an overflow from our hearts. That's what comes out of our mouths. That's how we act and live and be and are in the world, is out of an abundance of what's coming out of our hearts. Have you ever met somebody whose heart was just overflowing and they just could, like you just, they couldn't help but, you couldn't help but see their heart coming out through all of who they are? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever known someone like that? I'm going to point somebody out. I don't know if she's here this morning or not, but my daughters are a part of Studio K, the dance studio across town, and some of you know Kay Harkins and Catherine and Lindsay and others who are a part of that. It's a fantastic organization. It's such a cool place to be. A couple of weeks ago, my daughters have danced there for years now, and they're 10 and 8, and they've been there for many, many years. And a couple of weeks ago, they had what they call Watch Week, which is an opportunity for parents to come and to see all the dance things that the kids are doing. And so I had a chance to watch Watch Week and see my girls out there dancing. And I don't know if you've ever seen Kay in her element. Yeah, some of you have. She is one of those people that just, she can't not dance, right? She can't not be joyful. And watching her lead these, through Watch Week and watching Lindsay and Catherine as well, lead these young children through dance moves. I don't know how they remember all that stuff. There's all different, there's tap and there's jazz and there's ballet and they've got different songs and different moves for all this stuff. But what was remarkable was watching all of those instructors do the thing that God made them to do. Watching the joy just come out of their hearts as they instructed, and they did it in such a way that it was firm and the children knew what was expected of them, but it was also fun. And it was okay to just be and to just go with the music and to do the thing that you're doing. I mean, it reminded me, I saw Margot get up during the worship set, and she just like started dancing around a little bit here up in the front, and it was a beautiful thing. It's an expression, I think, of the goodness that God puts in our hearts from the beginning, the very, very goodness, living out the joy that God has given all of us in the depths of our hearts. And it's a beautiful thing to see somebody living into the way that God made them to be. Well, so that's one thing that we have in our hearts. We have the very goodness of God's own Spirit in our hearts. We also, as I've said, we have experienced brokenness in our lives. And so we have some other things in our hearts as well. And I unfortunately saw a little bit of that this week. Sometimes the things that we carry in our hearts can surprise us. I was in the middle of cooking dinner with the family, and the kids were home, and I had just kind of finished getting dinner, had it plated on the countertop, and it was just, I don't know, it was a long day. There were other things going on in life, and I, you know how sometimes you get to the end of the day, and you just want to kind of like, okay, now I want to sit down, like I want to just enjoy dinner, I want to be done. Well, we were about to do that. I had this food on the plates or on the counter about to give to the kids, and all of a sudden, the kids just erupted into this, like, cacophony of like both laughter but also tears, you know. And you know how sometimes there's that moment where you're not sure, like, is this like a good happy or is this a bad happy? Well, it was clear that it was a bad moment because one of our kids was crying, and I don't know why, it just all of a sudden, and I don't know what happened in me, but in that moment, after having worked and done other things to create dinner and everything, I just snapped. Like, I just lost it, and I was like, what is wrong? And they all just kind of straightened up. The one who was crying started crying more. And I'm just like, okay, this is not good. But I just couldn't, like, I couldn't. And so I sent one of them to their room. I sent the other to another place. And I realized in that moment, like, what in the world am I carrying in my heart that just jumped out? Like, where did that come from? That's not the person that I want to be. That's not the parent that I want to be. That's not the heart that I want to have in the world. And it just hit me. How many of us are carrying around things in our heart that come from a place of deep hurt and brokenness and anxiety and stress? And we carry that stuff with us in our hearts. And sometimes, and usually in the most inopportune times, that stuff comes out. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And we are all carrying that broken. This last year, too, have been just incredibly hard for so many different ways. The anxiety of what now, right? What now with whatever? What now with COVID? What now with life? What now with politics? What now with whatever? It's just so many. We're carrying so much brokenness with us, and that is in there. And we have to have a way to recognize that brokenness and to name it, because that gives us the ability to let it go to God and to let God hold it. God, the one who made our hearts. God, the one, the only one who can mend and fix our broken hearts. And so that's the question that we're looking at today. So this is a little bit of what's in our hearts. How do we actually get to a place where our hearts can be full of not the bad stuff, the anxiety, the stress, the brokenness, but how do we get that brokenness to be healed in order that our hearts might be transformed in a way that allows us to bear fruit for God's kingdom? And so as I was thinking over that question this week, and as God was giving, I love it when God gives me like sermon illustrations out of my own like stupidity and brokenness. That's fantastic. That's great. But as I that's how God works, right? But as I was thinking through that and thinking through, well, what is it that's going on in my life? What might I approach differently? What might I do differently? The passage that came to mind for me in order to release some of this stuff that I'm carrying in my heart, this brokenness, was John 15. And so we're going to read from that as well this morning. John 15, verses 1 through 5. And Jesus, again, is speaking with his disciples, and he's talking about bearing fruit for God's kingdom. And he says this, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, this too is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So how do we transform our hearts? How do we fill up our hearts with things that will bear fruit for God's kingdom? Well, the first thing we have to do is to realize that things might have to be pruned away first. Right? In the beginning of that passage, he says that God the Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. And so I think when I think of Ignatian spirituality, Ignatius was a theologian who lived a long time ago who talks about how do we discern God's will, how do we be closer to what God's doing in the world. And he speaks in terms of consolation and desolation. What are the things that make me kind of naturally move away from the heart of God, and what are the things that kind of draw me into the heart of God? And so I think this invitation, this realization that God is a master gardener who, in fact, does pruning from time to time in order that we might grow more, it's such a weird concept, isn't it? That we would have to cut things down in order to grow more fully and abundantly. But if you've done any gardening, you know, and you've seen that enacted, you've lived that out, you've seen how if you just let things go, they're crazy, right? They become entangled and all other kinds of things happen. But if you prune, they have more space to grow. And so I think the question for us this morning is, what are the things in our heart that God might be inviting us to let go of? What are the things, what are the activities, what are the attitudes, what are the emotions that we're holding and that we're carrying that this morning God might be saying, hey, maybe we've carried that long enough. Maybe it's time to do some pruning and to create more space for more fruitful growth. And some of these things may be good things, right? They could be things like how organizations that you're a part of, that you serve in, and you just enjoy being a part of them. Some of it is whatever responsibilities you have in daily life. You've got work, you've got school, you've got family responsibilities. Those are all good things and necessary things, right, for us to be doing and to be a part of. But I think what the invitation here is, if we listen, is that God is inviting us to ask, what are some things that you can realize my presence with you through, right? Instead of you feeling like you have to do all this stuff, you have to make dinner every night, and you have to get the kids ready, and you have to get ready for work, and you have to do all that. Like, how might you draw nearer to God in those things that are taking up space? How might you release those things that are taking up the space in your heart in order that God might be more present to you and with you? How might you remain and abide with God? Some of the things that I've had to prune, we've all had a chance to examine, right, over this last year and a half. What are the things that I don't really want to do that anymore? That was one of the gifts of this pandemic, right, is to kind of reimagine our priorities and how we're spending our time. I realized for me, the things that were staying in my heart were coming from places like social media and news and how are you spending time that's free time? Are you doing something that's productive and adding and drawing you nearer to the heart of God, or are you not? Are you just binging on streaming services, or are you just, you know, checking out and doing whatever? So those are some of the questions I think that God's inviting us to examine this morning when we hear that God is the master gardener and that God prunes so that we might grow. What are some things that we might let go of, allow to be cut back in order that we might bear more fruit and abide more fully in Jesus' presence? So the second thing he says is abide in me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And so what does that look like? There's a couple of ways that we remain in Jesus. One of them we're doing right now, right? There's in every aspect of faith, there's a communal aspect that we all do together. There are ways that we grow in Jesus together, and then there are ways that we grow individually as well. And so some of the communal ways are just what we're doing right now. We're gathering to worship and to pray and to encourage one another and to proclaim God's goodness and to remind us who we are in Christ. And so that's one of the ways that we remain in Jesus. We do what we're doing right here together. How many times have you been in a worship service and something from Scripture just kind of pierces your heart, just like hits you right there? Right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking and convicting you. That's like Vern says, if you get upset by this, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit talking. That's one of the things that we do as we gather, that's one of the ways we remain in Christ together. We gather for worship expecting to hear something from God's word. We gather together. It's good to see one another. There's a ton of us here today. It's awesome. It's great to see you all. It's great to be together and to know that we are together through the great times, like celebrating a big app win, right? Or a Braves win. I don't know. Maybe you're excited about that this afternoon. It's great to be together to celebrate that stuff together. It's also great to be together in the difficult times when we're mourning and when we're struggling and when that anxiety and stress and whatever is weighing down our hearts, to know that we sit side by side with somebody else, with a brother and sister in Christ who is helping us remain in Jesus together. Even if we don't feel like it, that brother or sister is there to encourage us and to be with us. And that's a gift. I visited with somebody this week who has been unable to attend worship in person since the pandemic began. And we were talking about what that meant and what that looked like. And she said to me, but I have to tell you what a gift it has been to be able to stay connected through the live stream. And so she hasn't set foot in the door. But yet, because of the technology that the church has been able to have, and we've still been able to speak to people who can't be in this room, and she had tears in her eyes saying, I can't tell you what it means to stay connected to the church through my iPad. And that is a beautiful thing. And so we're grateful for that ability, and we're grateful for those of you who join us online for that reason, because you are every bit as part of the body of Christ as anybody who's in this room. And so we're grateful for you joining us here as well. We are all together, and we remain. That's another way that we remain together in Christ. Well, there's also a personal aspect to connection, to remaining with Christ. And we heard about it, actually. Vern was talking about Laura Padgett's beautiful example of saying, hey, this is what God put on my heart. I want to share this gift with the church, an opportunity to read scripture together and to journal through together. And so if you haven't seen that yet, check the email that comes out from communications@booneumc.org. There's a whole description of that scripture. You can actually go to the website or the app as well, like Vern said. It's an opportunity during your quiet time to be doing something to nurture that remaining in Jesus. And it's something that's a beautiful one because it works both ways, right? It's individual nurturing, but it's collective because we're all reading the same scriptures together and journaling and seeing God at work through the Spirit. It's beautiful. Our responsibility in all of this is to show up, right? That is our job. As we read about what it means to remain in Christ, God does the work. Our job is to show up and to be present to it. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You've seen branches before, right? Branches that are attached to trees that might have leaves and fruit on them. Branches, what happens once you cut that branch off? It's done, right? And that's kind of what happens with us too. So I want you to picture that. I want you to imagine yourself as a branch. And this comes from this imagery I got from Rob Fuque in his book, The God We Can Know. It talks about the fact that we are branches. I just have to say this other thing. So my wife works in Christmas trees, and we're about to get into the crazy time of the year, right? The Christmas tree harvest is coming. Some of the questions that people ask about Christmas trees and how to care for Christmas trees can be quite entertaining. Almost every year, there's somebody who will ask, because they sell trees on retail lots in Florida and other places. Almost every year, there's somebody who asks, hey, if I take this tree that's been chopped down and cut out of the ground, and I bring it home, and then I want to use it next year, can I just plant it in my yard, and then next year, like, it'll be ready? People actually ask this, y'all. Oh, you mean like when we cut it off from the root system, like the thing that it gains all of the nutrients from, the thing that allows it to grow, the thing that collects the sunlight and the rain and all the nutrients to allow it to get, if you cut that off, you think you can just hold on to it for a year, stick it in the ground, and it's going to be okay? No, you can't do that.
I learned something today.
No, Ben. Doesn't work that way. You've seen what happens to Christmas trees after they're cut down, right? They petrify. They turn dry, and we like keep ours up way too long because it's a lot of work to get that thing up. I want to enjoy it as long as I can. So we leave ours up until like way into January, maybe February sometimes. I don't know. Because I like to look at it, and it's beautiful, but it's dead, and it's not coming back. And that's how we are when we read, when we hear Jesus talking about Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We are dead without Christ. Amen? Amen. And we're not coming back, and we're not going anywhere. And you know what? We're only going to carry more of that heaviness, of that grief, of that sin, of that chaos, of that stuff that we carry in our hearts. We're only going to get more of it the longer we're disconnected from the vine. And so the invitation this morning is to remember how important it is to just cling to that vine, because the vine is our life. Jesus went through all of the sin, all of the sorrow, all of the suffering, all of the brokenness in order to restore that connection that led to our broken hearts, right? Jesus restored that connection so our hearts can be healed. Jesus went all the way through death and the grave in order that that connection might be restored, in order that that vine might bring life to you and I, not only someday in heaven, but today, in the midst of all the stuff that weighs our hearts down today. Jesus did that work on the cross. God raised Christ from the dead so that we might have life today and tomorrow and forever. As long as we stay connected to that vine. See, as a branch, sometimes it might be tempting to look down the end of the branch, right? And to look at the fruit and to be like, oh, look at that fruit I'm bearing in my life. Aren't I awesome? Yeah, what happens if you let go of the branch, right? Let go of the vine. The fruit dies, right? It falls to the ground with a big thud. And you know what happens then? Animals come and eat it, and then they get rid of it later. That's what happens to your fruit. That's what happens when we focus on the fruit instead of focusing on the vine. The vine is the one that brings the power. Christ is the one that brings the power through the Holy Spirit. We are only dead branches. We are only vessels, as we sung earlier, for Christ's work to flow through us and produce good fruit in the world. And it's not ours to look at the fruit. It's not ours to look at others and compare the fruit we have compared to the fruit they have. That's not ours to do. It's not ours to grow the fruit. We can't do that. We're just branches. That's all we are. But when we cling to the vine, that's where the life comes. That's how we transform our broken hearts into hearts that do produce fruit for God's kingdom, into hearts that are healed, broken as they are, scarred as they are, healed for God's goodness, healed for God's purpose in the world, healed that others might experience the goodness of clinging to the vine of Christ. And so that's the invitation for us today. And realize, friends, that it is an ongoing invitation. Our mission, as we read, becoming transformed disciples. Becoming. It means we're not there yet. None of us are. And it takes a lifetime to live into those promises that we made at our baptism, that we're going to follow Christ with all that we have. It takes a lifetime to do that. It takes so many mistakes. It takes yelling at your kids for no good reason. It takes busting out of, it takes things coming out of your heart in ways that shouldn't for us to realize that we need Jesus. Amen? We need Jesus. We need to cling to that vine. And it's a process. And it's not a process for God. That work's already done, right? But it's a process for us to continue to realize and to continue to cling, to continue to receive the power of God's Spirit in us and through us in order that we might bear good fruit in the world. And so don't be discouraged if you try to remain in Christ and you find that you're still brokenhearted. In fact, it's funny, I was listening to a podcast. Richard Rohr was talking about this very idea of, hey, when you notice yourself kind of getting ready to give a response that's maybe not the kind that you should, when you notice your blood pressure rising, you notice your heart beating faster, you notice, just take a minute and just step back and just go, oh, like, I noticed that something's happening in my heart that I don't like, and so I'm going to just take a step back from it and think about how would God have, what does it look like to hold on, he wasn't talking about this passage, but in our context, what does it look like to hold on to the vine in this moment and say, I can't do this because I'm about to do some stuff that's going to produce some bad fruit that's going to end up on the ground and get eaten by animals, right? How do we do that? How do we step back? And it's so funny because I'm listening to that. You guys, literally that happened 5 minutes before I yelled at my kids. That was when I was listening to the podcast. I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Step back. Do that. Yeah, that's awesome. Like 5 minutes later, what is your problem? To the four-year-old. So remember that becoming transformed disciples is a process. And God just invites us to keep clinging. And as we let go, God invites us, hey, come back and grab on again. And let me transform your heart. Stay connected. Remain in Jesus with one another and in your own time in order that we might bear fruit for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this, your church, that you have brought together to accomplish your work in the world. God, I give you thanks for your word that speaks to us exactly in the ways that we need to hear, in order that our broken hearts might be made whole. God, I thank you for brothers and sisters in the journey to help us be accountable, to challenge us in our walk with you, to remind us and encourage us that we are not alone, and to remind us of that truth that you spoke in the very beginning, that, Lord, that we were made very good and that we are your beloved children. And so that no matter when we act like dead branches and produce bad fruit, Lord, you pick us up and you graft us back onto the vine, just like Jesus did with Israel and like Jesus did with all of us. And so, God, I ask for those reminders this week of where we might cling more tightly to you. I ask, Lord, that your word would continue to speak to us through scripture, through one another, through music that we sing together, through worship songs. Lord, speak to us in ways that we need to hear in order that we might let go of the things that cause us continued brokenness. God, may our hearts be open to your pruning in order that they may be open to more of your spirit in us, a full realization on our part of your spirit within us, because we know that you give us all of you. And we're grateful for that, Lord. And so give us reminders this week, Lord, of how we need you and how we can cling to you in order that we might have restored hearts, in order that we might have transformed hearts that live for the transformation of the world, because that's the heart that you made us with. In Christ's name we pray.